How have we never played this game before? Welcome to That Co-op Podcast, where controller meets conversation. I'm Anna.
And I'm Ed. If you're tuning in on your favorite podcast app, don't forget we have a video version on YouTube at That Co-op Couple, where we play games while we chat.
Today's game is the ever so popular Stardew Valley. We're going to dive into the game's history, as well as our first impressions as two people who took nearly 10 years to jump into it.
Make sure you leave us comments telling us about your experiences with the game. We'd love to hear your thoughts, too. So Stardew Valley was developed over the course of 4.5 years by a single person. Shout out to Eric Baroni, better known as Concerned Ape. Prior to development, Concerned Ape had very little knowledge of game development, taught himself the necessary skills to code, create the art, and write the music. In Concerned Ape's own words from an 8-year-old Reddit post, he sought to create a modern game in the style of the SNES and PlayStation 1 Harvest Moon games.
Yeah, so you played Harvest Moon a little bit, right?
I sort of remember playing a little bit of Harvest Moon. I think I played the Game Boy Advanced Harvest Moon. I don't remember which one that was called, like what the subtitle is. But as we were doing like research for this episode, I went and like looked into Harvest Moon a little bit, especially the SNES version. I think it's pretty safe to say that Dr. Ape took quite the inspiration from Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
If you want to go look up images of the SNES Harvest Moon, I don't even know if we could call it similarities. I think we're looking like some serious copy paste.
Well, and from what
they look very similar.
It looks similar, but then also from what I was researching, I think it starts the same. Like, I think you inherit a farm
like
from
even
your
the
grandfather.
Same basic storyline.
I'm pretty sure. Hmm. From what I saw on a Reddit post, maybe I was reading it wrong, or maybe it was a wrong information post, but
that I don't
I'm
know.
Pretty
I just looked
sure
up some
it
images.
It starts the same way.
It's cool that he wanted to sort of recreate that style of game. And it's cool that he took inspiration from, honestly, what is a very popular farming sim series. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many Harvest Moon games exist, but there are quite a few of them. It was a little wild when I like Googled Harvest Moon SNES, and it was just like
the same images.
I think you just pulled up images of Stardew Valley. I don't think you're showing me the right game.
Yeah.
So there's some pretty striking similarities. The PS1 looks a little bit different. They tried to make it a little more 3D in that regard. So, I mean, there's definitely some visual differences to the PlayStation 1 Harvest Moon game. But the SNES looks a lot like Stardew Valley.
Yeah, but I know he started that to just hone in on his skills of programming. So
I
don't know if he went in with the idea of like, oh, this is going to be a huge game. And this is like, I think maybe this was just like his homage to one of his favorite games. And it became pretty much the same game, very similar game.
I agree. I would be curious because we did do some research and we'll talk about some stuff that he said in some like Reddit interviews and online posts and things like that. But I would be curious to know whether or not Stardew Valley was ever meant to be public. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, was Stardew Valley really just meant to be a teaching experience? He was trying to learn how to do these things. And then maybe somewhere along the way, he realized, I kind of have something going here.
Yeah.
This is actually a pretty fun game. Mm-hmm. Maybe I actually do publish my work.
Yeah.
Was he always going into this with the intention of publishing Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been able to find that answer. I tried. It is really cool that one person built this entire game.
It's insane. To like wrap my head around that, because it obviously takes years and years for a game development. And
what did I say? 4.5 years for one person? That seems like nothing for one person.
No, it's not like the most visually complicated thing, I would assume, to make versus like Ghost of whatever, Yote. Must be a lot of work, especially when you don't have that experience to go in pretty much blind from what we could tell and just start a game and then make it as polished as it was.
Yeah,
obviously, he's made some updates several along the updates way
over the years.
But like to have all of that in 4.5 years to not only just make a game, the coding, but then to do the music, the composing aspect of that.
That's what's the craziest thing about me is like, or the craziest thing to me, not the craziest thing about me. Mm-hmm. Literally everything.
Literally everything.
He created the visual art for the game.
When there's usually teams of people to do all of those things.
He wrote the music
yeah.
for the game.
Yeah.
He coded the game. It would have been one thing for him to not have any experience and be like, I'm going to go teach myself to code a game. And then later on, try to find people to fill in the other gaps of talent. My dude said, nah, I got this. Yeah. I'm going to literally make everything.
The composing and the writing also is what.
Yeah, the story writing, everything.
Because again, not that I could do it, but in some capacity, we could learn how to code and do something, make some kind of thing happen in some kind of video game capacity. Mm-hmm. But to have the knowledge or the ideas of like making a good game story, mm-hmm. I feel like is just
the storyboard, the draft,
yeah.
the writing that went into it, the editing that would have had to go on later.
Because there's lots of characters in this game and they each have their own story, their own background, their own personalities, mm-hmm. plus the overarching story in the game.
But. And I think that's a tough thing to do as well for a single person. When you have the draft and you have the idea, you would imagine that you would look at it and be pretty proud of yourself.
Yeah.
But then to go back and like
add those details.
Well, add the details, but know what you have to take away too.
Yeah.
I think it would be really hard for me to spend the amount of time it would take to say, write a story from start to finish. And then realize to myself, I just spent so long doing this and I know I need to cut some of mm-hmm. this out. I know I need to take some of this material out because it either doesn't flow with the story or now I've made things too convoluted. I've made things too long. Now you have to delete your own work at that point.
Which is why
it's one thing for like an author to have an editor mm-hmm, that they send their stuff to. You let someone else cut your stuff out.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
But you have to create and edit and cut and recreate and cut and recreate. Like that would drive me insane.
And also it usually doesn't end up super well, at least like from personal experience. If I'm editing it myself, I'll give it to, or like some kind of paper or something back when mm-hmm. you were in college, but like it to look at it yourself and to make those edits on your own writing is just so difficult. And then to be able to do that with all the aspects of the coding, the writing,
the music,
like that's just, that's so
much. A lot for one person. And 4.5 years for one person doesn't really seem that long.
No.
When you've got developers out there that spend 10 years making a game with teams of dozens of people focused on those things.
Yeah.
You hire a writer to write the story for your game. Yeah. You hire a team of writers. You hire visual artists, graphic designers to create the visual art for your game that then your coders go in and learn how to move around and make these things happen. Your computer nerds are not designing the artwork for this game.
Right. Yeah.
Your art nerds are not coding the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole team behind almost every video game that you ever played. And this dude just did it himself. He does have a team now.
Yeah.
He does have a small team.
I think it's still a small team.
That helps him with the updates. But for, I think until 2019, I remember, if I did my research correctly. So the first 3 years of the game, it was all him.
That's crazy.
The game did officially launch on PC on February 26th, 2016, and surpassed 1 million copies sold within the first 2 months. Soon after, the game would be released on Mac and Linux come after me in the comments. Mm. And by the end of 2016 would find its way on the PS4 and Xbox One. As someone who doesn't feel that old, it mm-hmm. feels very odd to say the words 2016 and PS4 in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's
wild to me. I know the PS4, we've had this argument before. The PS4 came out in like 2013.
I know. It seems not that old. Yeah. That's crazy.
The game did release for the Nintendo Switch in 2017, iOS in October 2018, and finally Android got it in 2019. Take that, Android users. It has since been updated to expand support for 12 different languages and now includes a multiplayer function among many other huge updates. We did do the split screen co-op function in our gameplay that you can see if you're watching us right now, or you can check us out on YouTube later when you're done listening. And we did play it on the Nintendo Switch too.
It's such a good Switch game, like a console, a handheld console game.
It is a lay on the couch when you've got no energy for anything else.
Yeah.
Sit down and enjoy just the game.
Yep.
There doesn't have to be stress involved. I think the game does have its stressors.
Oh, yeah.
But there doesn't have to be stress involved.
You can play it in however way you want it.
It feels like it was built for a on the couch kind of console.
Yeah.
100%. It was built for a handheld.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to jump into who is Eric Baroni. I think we're pronouncing it correctly. At least that's what Wikipedia said. We'll leave all of our sources. I'm just going to keep referring
to him as Dr. Ape.
Dr. Ape, concerned ape. But he graduated from University of Washington, Tacoma in 2011 with a degree in computer science. A year later, after struggling to find employment, he started development on Stardew Valley merely as a way to hone his programming skills.
So the job market sucked in 2011 too, huh?
Yeah, it's been bad this whole time. But like, I feel like computer science, I don't know, maybe it's just...
I don't know, I'm telling you, computer science is becoming that new oversaturated thing.
I guess, but in 2011
everyone was told to go to college and get a computer science degree.
Yeah, that's true.
And now everyone has a computer science degree. Yeah. And there's only a finite number of computer science jobs to go around. Even with the amount of technology in companies and corporations that exist, there's only a finite number of jobs.
That's true. I guess still in 2011, that would be true. But this would become his passion project, as he would spend 10 hours a day, 7 days a week for the next 4.5 years working on this game.
There is nothing I want to spend 10 hours a day of my life on. Even the things that I love most in this world, I do not want to spend.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's a passion project. Like, he clearly loved this.
Yes.
And learning how to do these things to be able to, spend 10 hours on that. At this point, not getting paid to do all that work. I mean, you have to enjoy it.
It takes an incredibly special kind of person to do those things. And you see it time and time again, not just in any sort of video game, but any kind of artistic media, any kind of solo project, whatever that may be, it truly takes a special kind of person and a special personality and a special attitude to be able to do that. 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm sure there were days off here and there. I'm sure he got sick at some point and literally could not do anything. But 10 hours a day, 7 days a week for
almost
4.5 years and a half.
That's
years.
Crazy.
I don't think there's anything I love that much to do that much.
Yeah.
I love playing video games. I don't know that I could play video games 10 hours a day, 7 days a week for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
I really don't think I could. Could I do it, you know, for half that amount of time? Sure. Like, you're talking half your day.
Yeah. He clearly loves what he does. He did work a part-time evening job to support himself during this time, but took a risk and spent most of his time dedicated to creating what would become one of the most popular games of all time. As musicians ourselves, we were curious about his music background, as he composed all the music for Stardew Valley. And while Eric is not technically a trained, quote-unquote trained musician, Wikipedia did say that he's grown up playing music and has been in a number of bands. So that we try to kind of get more information about his
music background.
There's not a ton out there on the internet.
People care about that. We as musicians are the ones who be like, oh, video game and music, we care about that. I don't think too many
people in our gameplay that we're watching right now, but even in that, you know, kind of relatively short amount of time, we kind of already picked up on musical things that could possibly be an homage to other games, other 8-bit games and other popular games. So we just kind of, we're just curious about that. We couldn't figure much about that, but we tried reaching out.
I did email Dr. Ape to see if by some chance he would respond, and he still may. It was only a couple of days ago from the time that we recorded this. So
if
he does, we'll have to do some kind of an update to this.
Yeah, that would be sick.
But we'll see. He does seem very active in his community. We'll talk about that a lot later, he seems very active in his own community.
But I am wondering, like, his computer science degree, how much of that transfers to game development? Obviously, as two musicians with two music degrees, we don't we truly don't know what that, like, what a computer science degree can get you in terms of, obviously.
I think he had a clear understanding of, like,
coding. Yeah.
He knew, even if he had never coded a video game before, he knew the basic steps to get going. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it's probably just more of a...
just learning
You're learning as you go. You're learning through the mistakes you make.
Yeah.
You're probably learning a lot more through the failures than you are through the successes of what does and doesn't work.
But going back to, like, him having spent almost 5 years of his life with this game, pretty much unemployed, I mean, part-time job. I think it said on Wikipedia, I think it said that he was like an usher in the evening at a theater. But I mean, huge risk to just drop everything. I think it also said he lived with his parents to save some money as well. But I don't know. It's super commendable. I don't think I would be able to do that.
And he had a girlfriend to help him out too, right? Yeah, he had a girlfriend that
was working, I think, two jobs or something at the time.
Support. So, you know, we're a
big support system.
We can't sit here and pretend like having that support system does not help.
Right.
That is something that simply would not be possible without the people who clearly believed in you.
Yeah.
And clearly believed in you enough to, I will drop everything to support you because I believe that this project has the potential to turn your life around.
And shout out to his parents, because I don't know how many parents would, like, 100%. Be willing to have your grown child live with them while developing a video game. It's like the classic, like, stereotype of, like, the adult who lives in their parents' basement, but
typing,
like,
away on a computer constantly.
Now he has, well, I guess clearly
with Cheeto fingers.
So yeah, supportive parents to be able to support him. And
do you think your parents would have supported you to do that? If it was very clear that you were, again, work 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, if they saw you very clearly working, you're not just laying around on the couch.
Yeah.
You're not just mooching off of your parents. If they saw you putting in that kind of effort on something that you were that passionate about, do you think that they would spend 4.5 years with that support system?
I think so. I think I would have to sell them on it being like, saying, and again, we don't know if this was the case for him, but saying, I think this is going to be something, like, I really mm-hmm. think that this may turn into something big, or even not big, but just like, this is so important to me. I
have to do this.
Yeah. I think that could sell them. And then also having a part-time job, showing that was actually making some kind of an income. It's tough. I don't know.
The next follow-up question, if I decided I was going to, like, would you support me by working two jobs if you saw me putting, like, that's a hard commitment to
make.
Well,
and that was kind of my next question.
You're putting stress on a lot of other people too.
Yeah.
Whether they support you or not, they love you, they support you. It's still stressful for everybody else involved.
That's a lot. Yeah. To put that, I mean, not to say putting, I don't mean it in a negative way, but to have his girlfriend working two jobs to support, like, that's mm-hmm. that
and
is
to be clear,
love and dedication.
We say to have. I don't think he forced his
No, that's what I mean. I don't think it's, yeah.
He certainly did not go up one day and say, hey, babe, I need you to make money for the both of us.
Right.
She probably.
We are assuming that this was a mutual understanding.
She made that decision. She knew what she saw in Dr. Ape. And she made that decision to
give that man a doctorate. Doctorate,
seriously, honorary doctorate. Look,
come on.
There are people out there that have honorary
doctorates. Come on, Washington, Tacoma.
There are so many people with honorary doctorates that so do not deserve
one. Right, right. This man deserves one for sure.
My guy, give his girlfriend one too.
Yeah.
Give his parents one while you're at it.
Yeah.
Let's give the whole thing. I just had the thought because we didn't look it up. I don't know if even this couple is still together.
Yeah, I did think about that too. And I was like,
God, I hope so. Someone in the comments, let us know if there's a Mrs. Ape.
I don't think he's married from
my
research.
So is there a girlfriend ape?
I don't think so.
Is there a supportive ape still in his life?
I don't know.
I hope that's her tag name. Concerned Ape and Supportive Ape.
Aw, that's cute. I hope so. To go back to that, I did have that question of like, how realistic would his approach be nowadays? I mean, 2011, in hindsight, that's not all that long ago. However, a lot of things have changed since then, in many ways. But, like, it seems like everyone, even with a quote unquote steady job is kind of all in the same boat. At least yeah. most of us. We are yeah. not doing super hot.
I guess if you were still able to live with your parents and you had that person who could work two jobs, it probably is still possible.
Yeah. You would have to have that.
We could system. Not be in our current situation and
no,
do that.
No.
We would lose our house
yep.
in a matter of a month or two.
Yeah.
Not quite that.
So, yeah, that's what I was thinking of when you asked me, like, would now, if you wanted to drop everything, I would want to support that.
Yeah.
But financially, I don't think
and you would be the person smart enough to be like, hey, I really don't think
yeah.
we can do this. And we're both smart enough to realize
right. that
we can't do that. We're both smart enough to realize that we can't drop everything and just become full-time podcasters and YouTubers, despite how much we would love to do that right now. We just can't. We can't put our full energy into stuff like this. It is so hard. I'm imagining working part-time at a theater was a minimum wage job, mm-hmm. whatever that was. I don't know where he lived at the time.
I think, well, he grew up
was in California?
In Seattle. Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. He did grow up in California. But if he went to
like that also Washington, screams expensive.
That's true. I mean, it wasn't.
Isn't in the LA. Pacific
it was
Northwest
Los Angeles.
Is all, like that's expensive.
No, I'm pretty
you're
sure
working
he did
on a,
grow up in Los Angeles.
Probably a minimum wage area. Salary. I don't know what the girlfriend did, but I mean, in the year of our Lord 2025, with inflation the way it is, with
it
the
be
price
tough.
Of it would be
very
it would
tough.
Be very tough. We also did email him that question too. So, you know, Concerned Ape, if you're listening,
yeah.
Do you think somebody like you with the same support, like if Eric Baroni existed today and had never made this game, would Eric Baroni be able to do it now as opposed to almost what 15 years ago,
yeah.
14 years ago? It's such a shame because over the course of time, because of how limiting those opportunities are, what have and what will we miss out on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of projects could potentially be out there that just may never see the light of day because those opportunities do not present themselves to the people who deserve the opportunity to take it.
Ugh.
It's tough. I mean, for any artist, video game creator,
right.
And I very much consider game development. You're an artist.
Oh, yeah.
You are creating a
Absolutely.
Visual form of media. A indie filmmaker, a mm-hmm. visual artist, an indie musician that's not signed to any particular labels, you know, doesn't have like a professional support. What do we as just general consumers of media miss out on because those incredibly talented and determined people just don't have the resources
yeah.
to do it? We are probably missing out on so much incredible art.
So much, yeah.
That we as a world just refuse to find resources for.
Well, especially, I mean, maybe this is a totally different topic entirely, but I feel like there's some kind of relation to the fact that there's so much saturation now mm-hmm. online.
There's so many bad games
right.
that people crank out in a matter of like
or
hours
bad
and
music,
days.
Bad.
Yeah.
And obviously it's subjective. So when we say bad, maybe that's
no,
your jam.
Let's be clear. It's bad.
But like people
there
who
are
not working as hard.
Bad.
Yeah. Who are not working as hard as others and who are just happen to go viral for some mm-hmm. dumb thing. And then they get all the glory and fame and success where people are
yeah.
working their butts off and not getting the light of day.
I think more than anything, that's the big thing about
yeah.
today's world
yeah.
is you see a lot of people that you're welcome to have your opinions, but subjectively do not deserve to be famous
mm-hmm.
because they're either one, not that talented, didn't put in the amount of work that you would want somebody to put in.
Yeah.
Or we just like to support dumb people.
I know.
We
yeah.
find the dumbest
we love
of the
dumb stuff.
And we
we
make
sure
them famous.
Do.
And we make them famous.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that's not entertaining sometimes.
Sure.
I'm not saying we don't sit down and watch the occasional social media post of someone doing something dumb and have a good laugh. But it's like, that's the person that we are
yeah.
now allowing to have millions upon
yeah.
millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Not the guy that has spent the last X number of years honing their craft, sacrificing everything to make this project that just gets pushed into the dark corners of the world.
Because they don't have thousands of followers on TikTok or whatever.
And the algorithm doesn't pick them up. And
it sucks.
Wow. We took a dark turn.
Back to Eric Baroni.
He seems like a really cool guy.
He seems awesome. We think that he became so successful and was able to do all this stuff because he just genuinely seems to love it.
He loves video games.
He loves to learn.
He loved learning how to do it. He loved the project he was making.
Well, and also it speaks to that because his updates that he up until somewhat recently were making himself, but they're still free. Mm-hmm. So he's still doing all these things just because I'm sure because he loves it and because he respects the fandom and respects, mm-hmm. you know, how much everyone has been supportive of the game so yep. far.
And we will, we'll be sure to cite sources later down in the description or something. There was a moment, I don't remember where it was, whether it was on the Stardew Valley website or in one of his Reddit interviews that we'll go through later, where, you know, he mentioned that he's also currently now making a second game. Who knows when the heck that's going to come out? Because he was very clear that he has now, after many years, he has a home run in Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's how he's supporting himself. That's how he is probably funding the new game. Mm-hmm. He understands that, one, so many people love this game. And two, people like us that haven't touched this game in 10 years, we knew about it. Mm-hmm. We've known about Stardew Valley for the last 10 years. We just never played it.
Right.
It's finding new people every day too.
Yeah.
And so he said as much in a quote that why would he not continue to update and improve when he knows there's things that could make that game better, mm-hmm. even now almost 10 years into the future.
Yeah.
Game developers don't do that.
No, big game developers.
Big game developers will update their game for a while. They'll add some new content. They'll make you pay $400 mm-hmm. for some DLC.
Yep.
And then they're going to go off and work on the next game and make you forget about the old one.
Well, and also taking the time to perfect and fine tune his new game. We off mic talked about like same thing with Hollow Knight and Silksong, how they took forever and a mm-hmm. half to make their game. Not because for the fact that they wanted it to be a well-polished mm-hmm. game. They wanted to deliver what the fans wanted and spend that time to make it quote unquote perfect. And so that's what he's doing too. Indie devs care.
You need to support your indie developers.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of indie developers, again, like what we just said, make not good games.
Yeah.
But for the most part, an indie developer puts a lot of love into their games.
Yeah.
They put a lot of effort into it because they have to. Mm-hmm. They have to be that much better in order to stand a chance to stand out from the Sucker Punches and the Naughty mm-hmm. Dogs
and
the,
create a community so that they can continue that support and have that support, I should say.
Yeah. So we're going to go through a little bit of this online Reddit interview that I've been mentioning throughout this entire episode. We won't go through the whole thing. I'll link it in the description. It's an 8-year-old interview at this point. It's from when the game was put on the Nintendo Switch. Mm. He did a little Ask Me Anything in order to celebrate it. He was very proud of the fact that his game went onto a Nintendo console. Mm. He mentions that he was obsessed with the SNES and the N64 and such as a kid. So he's always kind of envisioned Nintendo picking up his game. So one of the first things I think is really, really cool to stand out was someone asked him, since you were a one-man shop on Stardew, what was your favorite aspect of development? Coding, software architecture, graphics programming, art, sound design, or music? And he wrote back and said, programming was my least favorite part of development. My favorite was probably the art and music. Music has always been a big hobby for me well before I even considered doing games. And that's part of the reason we emailed him. We wanted to know his music background. I will say, because we did mention it in our gameplay video, we kind of didn't love the music of the game.
Well, I liked the music. I just prefer when cozy type games are not for the lack of a better term, blaring music the sure. entire time. Now, granted, not...
You want to hear the tippy taps of you walking through grass. Yes. You want to hear the rainfall. You want to hear the environmental sounds and much more than
the environmental music. Sounds are beautiful in Stardew Valley. I love mm-hmm. hearing the footsteps on the different textures the yeah. and just like the animals or the rain or the, like, I love that stuff. So when there was music in the background, like mostly, and it wasn't all the time, but when there was music in the background, I was kind of like, eh. But I also, we're still pretty early in the game. Like, we haven't played it for a long time in the whole grand scheme of things. But so I know that there is a lot of music. I did like it. There were some songs that reminded me of other, like, older
We mentioned that, games. Like, we heard some very Pokemon-esque yeah. kind of tracks and things like that. So I would be curious yeah, to know if there was some inspiration.
I'm not going
to
go. Actually, I'm going to put on record that I do, in fact, love the music of Stardew Valley. I just kind of prefer the ambient mm-hmm. noises and things like that because they were so good.
Well, they're, and I don't think so there was calming. A way for us to lower the game volume. And actually, they mentioned it again, even in an 8-year-old interview. Early on after the release, there was an option for you to turn off the background music completely and just have the ambient sounds playing. And a few updates later, the option disappeared. And Dr. Ape actually said he didn't even realize that that was removed.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's also a very interesting thing. He says that about a couple of things throughout the process of, I wanted to fix this problem.
Yeah.
I fixed the problem. I didn't realize that in fixing the code for this, it was going to randomly affect a setting in the game.
Or maybe if that was something when
maybe
it...
Maybe Nintendo
Yeah,
took
I was
going
to say,
out.
When it went over to Nintendo, when if that was something they removed.
You know, we don't know.
Yeah. And now there's like a whole symphony that performs his
Yeah, the Stardew Symphony.
Music, which is they were just coming to DC, actually, to our
sick.
Neck of the woods.
Really, really, really cool.
Yeah. Really cool that he took the time to do that.
This is something I actually really believe in. And it's funny because I had read another article about it maybe a day before I looked into this interview. Someone asked him, is there something you think modern video games should have that they don't have today? And he responded and said, I think there ought to be more games that take a magical, pure, idealistic, even cartoony or innocent approach rather than being dark, realistic, and gritty. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it completely in passing, but earlier this week, just a couple of days ago, Ghost of Yotei released.
Yeah.
I will absolutely play that game at some point. I want to be perfectly clear. I loved Ghost of Tsushima. It's one of my favorite games. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. I'm sure Ghost of Yotei will be great. That's not a wrong statement. I read an article. I don't remember if it was IGN, Game Rant. These are not my words. These are the words of whoever wrote this article, but I 100% agree with it, where it really feels like all of those PlayStation Studio games, The Last of Us, The Last of Us 2, God of War, Ghost of Tsushima, Horizon, mm-hmm. all of these games are the same story, just kind of repackaged in slightly yeah. different colors, slightly different characters. They're all dark revenge stories. Your best friend, your family, your boyfriend, somebody important in your life gets brutally murdered. Mm. And now you are on a quest to seek revenge. And that seems to be the plot of, like, every major, like, AAA game that comes out now.
Yeah.
We can't pretend like it's not an effective story.
Yeah.
We can't.
Or a good game.
Clearly it sells. It makes money or they wouldn't do it.
Right.
But Dr. Ape is 100% correct. It would be super cool if, like, someone did something different. Mm-hmm. You know, why can't we have a game that just ends in a nice happy ending where everybody just enjoys themselves? I'm not saying bad things can't happen.
Yeah.
You need conflict in a story. You need something to overcome in a story. Does it have to be revenge every single time? The Ghost of Yotei is another revenge story. Mm-hmm. Spoilers. I haven't even played the game and it's spoiled to me. Your parents get murdered and you track down the people that murdered your parents. That's the main plot. Obviously, there's more detail to it. There's going to be side plots and other things to the game that may make it unique. But at the end of the day, you are tracking down the people who hurt you.
Yeah.
Just like the first Ghost of Tsushima. Just like the God of War games.
Just like
The Last of Us. Just like Horizon. And yeah. I love Horizon. I am a Horizon girly. I love me some Horizon. But it's all the same. And it does get a little old. And it does get a little fatiguing.
Yeah. And I think cozy games are having kind of a resurgence. Mm-hmm. Because not to, like, sound old and, like... I don't know. But just nowadays, there's just so much everything going on.
Yeah, I mean, not to sound dark and pessimistic, but like the real world sucks enough that I don't also want my video game story to suck too.
Right. I think people are craving.
I don't mean suck as in bad. I mean, suck as in bad things are happening.
Yeah.
It's a well-written story. I'm not saying it's not entertaining, but God, can something happy happen once in a while?
People are craving that simplistic style of just being cozy and having some feel-good moments and things like that. So I feel like that's why things like Stardew Valley, there's a huge resurgence and still a huge community around these types of games because it's just simple. And we always can go back to it 8, 10 years later, it still holds up and it still just like scratches that cozy, comforting itch.
Yeah. Another fun question. What was it like when you first realized Stardew Valley had hit it big? Are you interested in making a sequel to Stardew Valley? Again, this is an 8-year-old interview. He replied, I was in a daze when Stardew launched, partly due to lack of sleep, but also that sudden jolt of being in the spotlight. Eventually, that all died down a bit and I was able to actually start thinking about reality. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around it all, even now. It's just gotten so big, it's on a scale I never imagined. It took me a bit to adjust, and I feel like my personality was all over the map for a while. Now I'm basically just my old self again. I would consider making a Stardew Valley 2 eventually, but not for a bit. And at least for now, still not happening because he's making a completely different game. The Haunted Chocolatier. Sounds interesting enough. Yeah. Those were the 3-4 big questions I think that really came out of this interview that I think are interesting because even as an 8-year-old interview, I think those responses still hold up super, super well today.
But we are going to kind of jump into now what we thought of while playing the game for the first time. Like we said, literally just last weekend, we started playing it for the very first time. Our gameplay of that is currently playing right now if you're watching on YouTube. But we have since been playing throughout the whole week. And that's honestly, for me, like a huge...
That's already a huge upgrade for you.
Yes. I don't play a lot of games during the week anymore just because I'm tired. I just throw something on YouTube and just kind of doom scroll.
Zone
which,
out.
Yep. Not healthy, but that's what I've been doing.
Well, and I've told you before, that's why I do play video games every day. Is it's probably not much healthier, but it's at least... in my mind, a little more healthier than doom scrolling.
Yeah.
At least there's like a goal to achieve.
Everything has to be healthier than doom scrolling. Pretty much everything, I would say. But no, I agree.
Maybe not like cocaine, but.
Well, yeah. Okay. I guess there's lots of other things that are, I guess if we're going to take that approach, there's lots of other things that could be worse than doom scrolling. But I just hadn't found the game that I could just turn my brain out. Because even like, I really love Breath of the Wild and things like that, but it is almost like too much.
You're
like
not an too open world girly.
It gets me, it's overwhelming. And then I like, there's so many side quests and I just need like for a video game to just be like, do this, now do this, now do this, now do this. Mm-hmm. And even like I started Hollow Knight not too long ago because Silksong hype.
Hollow Knight's hard, man.
It's so hard. I do love it. I do really appreciate it. I just don't know if that's like the game for me. I want to go back and play it again because I've missed it. But it's like Stardew Valley is that, again, just like that cozy game where you can sit on the couch, you can listen to other things in the background, or you could just focus your whole energy on making whatever thing that you're making or fishing or whatever. And it's just, it's nice. I could definitely see how it could become maybe stressful at times. But
those
for now,
freaking crows, man.
Yeah. For now, it's just good vibes. It's good vibes.
And I will say, going, you know, sort of the opposite side of that, I told you, I could have sworn that I spent like a very small amount of time playing Stardew Valley years ago. Like I think when it first came to the Nintendo Switch, I owned the game on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh.
It wasn't downloaded on my console at all, but I didn't remember a thing. And I certainly didn't remember how deep the story went.
Yeah.
Right? Like that whole intro scene that... that whole scene of you working your day job and just like, you know, you inherited this farm because you've given up on everything else in life because life kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. I did not remember that. You know, I didn't realize there was a whole magic element to it.
Yeah, that was wild.
I didn't realize there were these going to be these freaky little creatures the running little around.
Apples? I forget what they're
called. a creepy little cowboy wizard.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there were going to be all these things. I thought I was going to wake up.
Yeah.
Plant a couple of crops. Yep. Go to bed. Rinse yep. and repeat. Make me some money. Find me a nice pixelated girl to marry. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, not a lot of single people in that game. But
yeah, at least okay. not now. Maybe we meet
maybe again. Later. I'm gonna hold out hope that I can instigate divorce in some way. I'm gonna tear a family apart wow. in that game. I didn't realize how
yeah, there's
involved that story.
It's very expansive.
And we've still only scratched the surface.
Yeah. Well, you made it past. You had the advantage of when we did a co-op,
we made a lot of progress in my game.
So then I started my own and I'm still not past mm-hmm. The first season of spring.
I have made it into summer.
Yeah. So I'm a little jealous of his farm right now because he has
I'm making bank right now.
You have lots of crops. You have
and again, I didn't realize how much there's a much better term for it, but how much of a choose your own adventure it was mm-hmm. where like I've decided probably the very basic way to play, but I've decided that I'm going to be a crop guy.
And I want to
create a farm that grows so many crops that I'm making head over fist cash money. But I could have decided to be a livestock farmer.
Yeah.
You know, or a mix of both. I could have decided I wanted to take an approach and be more of a fisherman.
I'm definitely more of a forager.
You love it a seems good. Like. You love a good
I love
fishing.
Fishing.
Mechanic.
I love just like exploring and picking up little leaks and and things like that. It seems really fun.
She's mostly gonna end up like Linus in the game. You haven't gotten to the part yet, but Linus rummages through other people's trash cans.
Oh.
him rummaging through other people's trash cans later.
I'm gonna
in
be
the game.
Linus.
Spoilers for a 10-year-old game. Aww. Yeah, you're gonna turn into someone who lives
Caveman
off
McGee.
Caveman Linus, yeah.
Oh well, yeah, no, that seems like my approach because I'm already like, I don't know, level 3 foraging and you're like level
I'm like
something
level 4
farming.
Or 5 farming. Yeah.
And again, I still haven't even made it past season 1 and I'm level 3.
It is still such a hard game though.
It is. It takes a lot of skill
because
and planning.
You know, as someone now with a fairly expansive farm, I wake up, you know, the game starts at what, 6 a.m., 6:30 mm-hmm. in the morning.
Yeah.
It takes me most of the day to water all of my freaking crops.
Yeah.
It takes more than my allotted energy. I have to have those dumb little granola bars on hand to refill my energy.
Gotta go fishing, bro. Gotta smoke some fish.
In order to continue to water all of my crops. And that's it for the day.
Yep.
You know, I can't go off and get the materials to build the smoker. Because that requires me to go mining and get some stone that I now no longer have the energy to do.
I picked the island that comes with the smoker, so
I no longer have the energy to do those
things.
Or the
farm, I mean.
I will say I've not allowed myself to deplete completely to zero. I don't know what happens when you completely zero out your energy. I've made it down to 1.
I
go to bed. Actually, no, I think you can go to zero. You just can't go down even more. Mm. I think I've zeroed myself out. I don't think any consequences happen until you go beyond 0.
Oh, I didn't know you could go beyond
well,
0.
Well, like you're at 0, you're fine.
And
the
you
very next thing
do
you do, I have no... I'm assuming you probably just like...
Go to sleep again.
The game probably blacks out and drags you back home and you might lose some money or some resources. That's how most of the cozy games work. You lose some stuff that you had in your pockets or whatever, but I don't know. I've not done that yet.
But anyone who says that there's like no strategy or skill.
Oh, there's so much strategy.
In like cozy games, specifically Stardew Valley, can bump off. Because that's like such a huge aspect. Now, granted, you don't have to do all of that. Like you could just like fart around mm-hmm. and fish fart and and like do whatever, but like I feel like the intense people mm-hmm. can really
well,
go
and
hard.
I
saw
you,
like their spreadsheets and stuff like that. People God. Make Excel spreadsheets
could
on like
not be me.
When to like the best time to plant crops, the how much money you get per crop, mm-hmm. when like all this stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, this could go so deep.
Well, and I told you because one of the things we learned along the way is you know, a season is 28 days long. So you have to plan your crops. You know, I have crops that are growing that take a long time. I'll get two iterations of those throughout an entire season. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get any return on my investment until I'm halfway through the season and then at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then I've got the crops that like the middle of the road where I'm going to get three or four iterations of those in the course of the season. And then I've got the ones that take the least amount of time that I'll be able to do, you know, five, six times throughout in mm-hmm. order to keep just instantly making a little bit of money to keep playing the game. There is a lot of like,
there's a lot of stuff.
I had to plan like do the math.
Yep.
You know, I had to make sure that at a certain point at the end of the spring, I stopped spending money because mm-hmm. I needed to have the funds to buy all the summer crops.
Yep.
And I spent most of my money on summer crops in order to start that entire project. So at some point, I have to stop what I'm doing. Someone did comment and said, hey, be careful, because in the winter, all your crops are going to die out. Mm-hmm. So I think I have to find another source of income in the wintertime because you can't grow crops.
Like winter crops? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll report back. There is a lot of strategy to it. There's a lot of math to it.
Which is why I like kind of quickly gave up on the farming. I didn't give up because I have only played like a handful of hours. But because I just like haphazardly made a fence and like I accidentally put seeds where I didn't want them. So I was like, mm-hmm. well, now it's all fricked up. I don't like how this looks. This is dumb. And then like I accidentally planted, I don't know. It just doesn't look aesthetically pleasing and not how I wanted it to be. So I was like, well, I have my little plot, my two little plots of, what is it? Turnips? No, parsnips. And then I was like, I'll just fish and like get other stuff. But that's how I've made most of my income, is just like foraging and getting all that. Because I was I'm done with the harvesting. It's too complicated.
It is. I mean, you have to put a lot of thought into it. You have to clear the land to have the space and all that stuff. And all that takes your energy level away.
And your resource. Like I guess I was used to like Animal Crossing type of thing where like you could take your fence down. And I think to some degree you can get it back very shortly after you put it down. But then I was like, oh, I kind of want to change this. And you can't just like get those resources. They're just gone.
Yeah. The fences so like, have lifespans on them.
Yeah.
They'll eventually collapse in on you. Because and again, it makes sense. They're made out of wood.
Right.
Wood's going to rot over time.
Yeah.
You know, you can make the argument that maybe it shouldn't rot in like 4 days.
Or a day. I'm pretty sure it was like the next day. I was like, actually, I think I want to move this fence. And then it was gone. I was like, oh, no.
That's not how wood works. Yeah.
But whatever.
There's a couple of those head scratchy things. I would be very curious to know about his process in that when he came up with sort of the scale of real world stuff to that video game. Mm-hmm. You know, a season only lasts 28 days.
Yeah.
So then how do you scale everything into, you know, what was his decision to make parsnips grow in 4 days instead of 3 days mm-hmm. or instead of 5 days? You know, things like I would be very curious to know that.
Yeah.
The nerd in me would be curious to know how much thought went into that kind of stuff. We recorded for almost 2.5 hours.
Which we had never done before in the history of this channel.
Yeah. And before, and like 2.5 hours that we didn't know 2.5 hours had gone by.
Yeah.
We were just playing. I mean, we knew we had been playing for a while. But like when I went back and checked the recording and I was like, God, it's been 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Yeah. And there were times where we're not talking. we're just like deep into it.
We don't do that often with each other. It's hard for us to find, one, the energy, the time, but like the game that keeps us that engaged and enjoying ourselves and just giving us a chance to relax. It's something that you can pick up and put down whenever you want because of how the day and the season system goes. It makes it very easy. It's very digestibly. It's very digestible chunks of game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were times when after we recorded our first bit of playthrough, I would play one day in Stardew Valley. What, 10 or 15 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
And then I would put the game away and do something else. Because it felt like I could do that. This felt like a good, solid stopping point.
Yeah.
There were times when I sat on the couch and played 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days and then put it away. Because every moment, every new day feels like a really good opportunity to
just
walk away from the game,
reset. Yep.
And I think that's part of what makes it so popular. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit too. But that's what makes it so popular, is it's so digestible. Mm-hmm. And it's digestible to the point where like something that we're like, I know one of your biggest problems with big open world RPG games is that you'll start it and you will enjoy yourself, But then it'll be a couple of days, and next thing you know, you're picking up a game that you don't
remember
what's going on.
Yeah, I forget you literally everything. Where am I? What was my mission?
The controls.
Everything. Yeah, yes. Literally everything. So this, yeah.
Stardew Valley is such a game where if I did not play it for another 365 days, I could turn that game on, pick right up where I left off without feeling like I missed anything.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it. You have it here in our notes that you like it more than Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Animal Crossing doesn't even really give you that aspect because, God, if I turned on my Animal Crossing island right now,
it would be
garbage everywhere.
Yep, in shambles.
And that would stress me out because even before I could get to a point where I could continue my game, I would have to play now several years of freaking cleanup to get to a point where I could then build and recreate and do those things. At that point, I'd rather just start over from scratch.
Yeah. And granted, I haven't played. I don't remember the last time I played Animal Crossing. It's been at least a year or two.
Oh, well, you picked it up.
No,
that's right.
No.
You've played it. I played it
a little after COVID, but it has been more than a year. It's been like a couple years at least. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's different. Maybe there have been some updates or things like that. But I feel like even without having the cleanup aspect of that, like going back, there is a limit at least that I hit after COVID where it's like, I have my island how I kind of want it. Yes, I could change it up.
I got my sick DJ dance floor.
Right. I got to the quote unquote end of the game. It like feels, I have a lot of money and it was kind of hard at some point to lose money. Mm-hmm. Whereas like in Stardew Valley, it's really easy to spend money.
But it's also very easy to gain money back.
Yeah. But it's also like you have to be able to know how to
involved.
Do that.
There's patience in it.
You have
it,
to
yes.
know how to do that in order to get your money back. Whereas like in Animal Crossing, I feel like it's so much easier to get money and so much easier to maintain it. So then you're kind of just like, once you get to a certain point, you're kind of just flying high and can do whatever and get whatever. Yeah. And I feel like unless maybe when you get like farther into the game, it's easier to maintain and stuff like that for Stardew Valley. But I just feel like there's so many more options in Stardew Valley. And same with like for Animal Crossing, yes, you could fish, you could make terraform, you could make things, you could craft, make recipes. But I don't know. Stardew Valley just seems more expansive. Maybe that's just because it's a newer game to us.
Yeah. I definitely need to get more into sort of the automation part of things. Like I mentioned watering my crops taking so long to do.
Yeah.
There are sprinkler systems in the game.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with the sprinkler system is apparently they only water like the four surrounding tiles.
Yeah. You need a lot, and it takes a lot of resources.
So I would need to find a lot of metal to create a lot of sprinklers, which takes up space in the area you're planting crops. Yeah. Every sprinkler you put down is one less space you have to put a crop down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to make sure everything gets watered. And it's like, is that worth it? I don't know. Yeah. I've not gotten to that point in the game. Or, you know, would it be worth it for like some things? Maybe I create the sprinkler system for some of my long-term crops. So I could just forget about them and focus on the more day-to-day crops with my own watering. I don't know. I've not gotten to that point. But there are definitely things in the game where I don't know, is the sprinkler a good return on investment? In my brain, it's really not.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, are some of the other things that you can buy to help you out, are they as helpful as you would think that they would want to be? I would think a sprinkler system would water a lot more than just four surrounding tiles.
Yeah.
That's me personally.
Sure.
But I would think that it would do more than that.
It's hard. That's why, again, I think I enjoy it more than Animal Crossing, at least right now, is because it does take a lot of skill and it's
a lot
hard.
Of thought.
Yeah. It's hard to get these resources and to even make, you know, a functioning farm that's efficient, at least early on in the game. That's what it seems like. But so I think I am liking it more than Animal Crossing right now.
I think it's definitely a game. You probably will continue this game most likely a lot farther than I will.
I don't know. You're already farther than I am.
Yeah. But I mean, there's other stuff that is getting ready to come out that will probably take my time away.
That's true.
There's other things in the next couple of weeks that I need to put my brain into.
I want to get into like mining and stuff like that. I'm excited about that.
I would be curious. I definitely want to know more about the story with like the whole little note that says, like, wait for your grandpa to come back after 3 years.
And just like Joja Cola seems like it's a bigger, there's a bigger plot.
They're Walmart, right?
Right.
But he had to find a better way to call Walmart something that wasn't Walmart. But we all know who he's talking about. He's talking about big box stores.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the things that we mentioned is what makes Stardew Valley so popular. Mm-hmm. It's digestible.
Yes.
It's very digestible. I do think it sort of scratches that sort of retro nostalgic itch.
Yep.
If you're someone that enjoys that sort of pixel art game, you will absolutely enjoy Stardew Valley.
And I think most people do, because it does remind us of like Pokemon and Legend of Zelda, just the things that we grew up with.
You know, it feels like a game that was meant to be put on like the Game Boy Advance or something.
Yeah, yep.
It feels like that harvest, that old nostalgic Harvest Moon kind of thing. Because there are plenty of farming sim games today that have fully realized like 3D graphics and, you know, you can play in 4K and all that fun stuff, where Stardew Valley, it feels like it's a lot older than a 10-year game. Mm-hmm. And that's on purpose. That's not a knock on the game. That's 100% on purpose. And it really scratches that itch of wanting that sort of nostalgic feeling in a game. Mm-hmm. It is that very addictive gameplay, right? Where you could play for one day, but chances are you're not.
Right. That's what, like, and we did it in our gameplay, but even just sitting down on the couch, just like, oh, I got to do, there's so little time in a day.
God, I got to do this now. Yeah.
I have so many things that I want to do or need to do in the game. And then the day's over and you're like, wait, but I didn't get to X, Y, and Z. So I guess I have to play another day. And then another day goes by and maybe the store is closed, so you can't actually do all this. It's just like, oh, now I have to, like, it's just a whole cycle of, I think, I don't know if he did this intentionally, but I feel like it's such a great period of time that keeps you coming back, where you can get stuff done in the game daytime, but then there's so much more to do, and then you just keep coming back and you're like, oh man, I have to do this, but there's not a lot of time. It's very addicting.
It's got that addicting, it hits all the like psychological things you want in a video game. It gives you, there are moments where you can get very instant gratification. You can complete a goal, make a little bit of money, or get an item, or whatever it is you're trying to do. You get that instant little hit of like, heck yeah, I just did this thing.
Yep.
And it's awesome. But then there's also that aspect of the long term where, you know, I have to play for 14 game days in order to get my return on these crops. Sure, it would be easy for me to wake up, go to sleep, 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 and just progress the game.
Yeah.
But you get to a point where that feel, yeah, it feels like cheating.
Right.
The game doesn't want you to do that, obviously.
There's so much stuff to do.
Because there's so many other things you can do in the meantime. You would miss out on everything that this game has to offer if you ended up playing that way.
And that's another reason why I think it's so popular. And we talked a little bit about it already, but there's just so many different ways that you could play this game.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it seems like there's really not a right way to do this. Like, you could focus on crops. You could focus on fishing or just exploring, or
you could never
all
make
of the above.
You could never make any progress in the story if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I've barely scratched the story, and I feel like I don't necessarily want to. I will eventually, but like, I feel like I don't necessarily care enough. That's something that, you know, to make a comparison, that's why people think Skyrim is such a good game. Mm. People will spend hundreds of hours playing Skyrim and never touch the main story of the game, because
I honestly forgot there was a main storyline to the game.
Because there's that much extra stuff to do.
Yeah.
And Stardew Valley very much feels like a game where I may never know what those little magical critters do. I may
Jubilees or whatever they're called.
I may accidentally play 3 in-game years farming and my grandpa comes back from the dead or whatever's going to happen. But that's not something I'm actively working towards.
I don't think he's dead.
I just want to farm and make money. Like, that's my dopamine hit is when I sell 50 parsnips and I get $2,000 and I'm like, heck yeah, dude.
There's something for everyone, it seems, in this game. Definitely different ways to play, different
and
game styles.
And if you're
styles.
One of the few people left in the world that hasn't played this game, like us, give it a shot. It's cheap.
Yeah.
You're going to support by all accounts that we know, a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Again, don't let us down. But it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, you know, and you're playing a game that deserves your time because it was made with a lot of love and time and mm-hmm. passion.
Yeah.
It deserves your time because somebody made it worth your time.
And we didn't even talk about like the customization aspect mm-hmm. of the game because we've
gotten nowhere close to that. Us, God, yeah. It's so expensive.
I know. Neither of us have gotten that far, but it like.
Just for me to like. Put a kitchen in my house is going to cost my entire freaking life savings and like 800 pieces of wood and 400 pieces of stone. And it's like, no.
But I made the mistake of while we were doing the research for this episode of looking up just like farms of other starting.
Well, now you're going to get jealous, right? Of how beautiful everything looks. You can't do that
to
yourself.
It's crazy.
You cannot do that to yourself.
But it's also
that's like looking up all the Animal Crossing worlds people.
I know. And I
people
am.
People are way more creative.
Oh, yeah. That's
stuff
what I'm saying.
Than
like,
we'll ever be in that kind of game.
It's so cool to see the customization aspect of it, not only on the farm, but like your house and just like. Oh, it's so cool. And that, yeah, I don't know. I just love that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. it's hard. I feel like it's so much harder
than
Animal Crossing.
It takes a lot of time.
To get to that level.
Unless that's going to be your thing where that's what you're going to focus in on. That is one of the aspects where like, there's your long-term kind of dopamine hit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If I chop a little bit of wood every day, by the time my grandpa comes back from the dead, I might have a kitchen to make us dinner in, you know? I might be ready to buy a kitchen for my house. In wow. the meantime, I'm going to keep eating those awful granola bars, fishing up some Joja Colas, and just, you know, living off the land because, God, I can't afford a kitchen.
Yeah, in this economy.
Spaghetti costs $240 in that world.
Yep.
That's insane. I can't even go to the bar and share a beer with my buds. It's $400.
Yeah.
That's like, that's a lot of money. When you first start, that's like your entire life savings.
That's literally your entire
if
life savings.
If the first thing you do in that game is walk into the bar and buy a beer, you're absolutely
done.
Screwed. You just got to reset the game. The economy is crazy in that world.
Yeah.
It is so expensive, but it is fun.
It's really
we
fun.
We were laughing. We were having a good time. I got to overreact to some crows. Mm-hmm. It was super fun.
And we could definitely see why it's held up for so long.
We can see why it's so popular. We can see why it's built its own little community full of people. We appreciate how much the developer is involved in that mm-hmm. community. He listens to the advice of people online.
Yeah.
There's responses of him, you know, hey, we found these bugs, and he'll just be like, oh shoot, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
I will get on that.
Yeah.
You know, game developers don't do that.
No.
Game developers do not do that. Or, you know, someone will make a suggestion. Hey, I think when this event happens, it would be really cool if this person did this. And he'd be like, huh, you're right. I'll get on that. It may not be the very next thing I do, but I'll add that to my list of things because that's a good idea. People don't do that.
Support your indie devs.
Yeah. So he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
It's a great game. Dr. Ape, if you're listening, if you're watching, it would be so cool if you responded to it, you know.
we could
let us interview you on the podcast.
We don't have money, but we have personality.
I can give you a little shoulder. You want to see a little shoulder? Yeah. I'll show you whatever you want. Yeah.
Yuck. Yeah. He's turned off.
He's like, gone. Nope, that's
we're done.
We turn on our switches later and see the games have been deleted from our nope, we're not allowed
you're
to play
done.
Anymore.
Yeah.
I grossed myself out with that one. I think we need to wrap this up. We need to wrap it up.
Alrighty. So that is it on this episode of That Co-op Podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to our reactions and thoughts on Stardew Valley.
If you liked hanging out with us, hit that follow or subscribe button. And like the video if you're with us on YouTube. Every bit of support helps more people find the show.
We will be back in 2 weeks on October 20th with episode 5, where we react to even more wild video game Reddit stories. If you missed that, you got to go check it out on our channel. If you missed your last episode, you will definitely want to take a listen.
Thanks for gaming with us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.